Hey, everybody. Welcome to App Chatter. I'm Eric, and I'm joined today by Lou.
Hey, everybody.
And we are going to talk apps. So this is actually, it's been a while. You know, we did a beta podcast for this, episode zero, if you will, back a few months ago, I think.
Yeah, I think we did the Halloween apps around that time. It was right around October 31st.
It was October, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's okay, because we're back now officially, and every week we are going to be discussing news and actual apps themselves. We'll be doing reviews. We'll be talking a little bit about the iPhone news and app news and the industry and things like that. And we're going to cover some of that in today's episode. But first, we are going to introduce the podcast a little bit and talk a little bit about ourselves. But don't worry, we'll keep it brief. We know that everybody is here to listen about the apps and not about us, sadly.
They don't want to know about me?
Oh. Well, they might want to know about you. I'm far less interesting. So, I don't know.
I don't know if I'm much more interesting, but we'll try.
Well, we'll wing it. Normally, we would have another host on the show with us, Brian, who does some of our other podcasts with us, like Tech Chatter and a few others. But sadly, he was not able to make it today, so we're going to press on without him. Lou, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your history in podcasting and what kind of devices you have and all that.
Sure. I'm pretty new to the whole podcasting thing. I started doing some stuff with you on Lost Chatter back, over the late summer, early fall. Mm-hmm. And we started doing this in the fall, and really excited about talking about apps and all the new devices we can all spend our money on pretty soon. As far as what I have, I drive a Mac when I'm at home. I have a Windows machine I work with during the day. My mobile devices, I have a 13-inch MacBook laptop, and I have an iPhone 3GS.
Excellent. Well, I'm a little jealous of you, actually. I only have an iPhone 3G. So,
well, you know, iPhone envy.
Yeah, well, I'm working on the 3GS. I know you, now didn't you have some little scheme where you suck your wife into taking yours so you could upgrade?
Yeah, I got to be careful on the sucker thing because she's in the other room. I don't want to say it too loudly. But I picked up a 3G when they first came out. Was it July of, 08, I guess it was?
Yeah.
And, stood in line, waited for one of those, picked one up. And when the 3GS came out, I was trying to figure out a way I could get one. Didn't want to spend the extra money for, my contract was, only a year into it. And she was eligible for a phone upgrade. And she was kind of liking my iPhone. I kind of convinced her she needed one. And she took my 3G and we swapped SIM cards and I took the 3GS. So.
Awesome. I'm about to pull the same maneuver here pretty soon. My wife has decided that she needs an iPhone.
Good.
She just got a job as an emergency room nurse. And she wants something she can use to reference medication and things like that. So I'm thinking, she can have mine and I can upgrade to a 3GS, especially since there wasn't any news about a new iPhone.
That's true. I think probably see that maybe next couple of months, though. I mean, every July we've been seeing one, so I expect this July we'll see another one.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. I mean, it would be odd for them to would it really be odd, though? I mean, they wanted the focus on the iPad, and we'll talk a little bit about the iPad in a moment. Mm-hmm. But you'd think they probably would have also at least mentioned if they're going to do an iPhone upgrade. And a lot of people are speculating they're going to do an operating system upgrade, but not a hardware upgrade. So it could be that, too.
That's interesting, yeah. I'd imagine, though, you're going to see a new phone. I mean, there's a new Android phone every week, so I'm assuming Apple's got to put a new phone out sometime this year.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Okay, so for me, I have, I think, the same MacBook as you do, probably, a 13-inch MacBook. And I've got an Apple TV, which I love, by the way. I know it's a little restricted in what it can do, but it does what it does very well. And I'm very happy with that. And like I said, I've got an iPhone 3G. And I will be one of the people purchasing an iPad in a couple of months. So we'll be able to talk about that once it shows up. And we will be able to also cover those applications as well. So if you're somebody who is interested in picking one of those up, we've got you covered. If you don't want to hear anything about iPad apps and you just want to hear about iPhone apps, we're going to have that covered too. And that'll probably be our focus just because of the plethora of applications out there. So don't worry if you're not interested in the iPad. We do have to cover it this week because it is very newsworthy. But don't feel like this is going to be the iPad show. This is going to cover applications in general across all of the Apple portable devices. So, Let's see. What else do we need to cover here? You know, we probably got some listeners from two different groups. We've got some listeners who have come here from the appchatter.com website, and we would like to welcome you. And we've also got listeners who have come to us through the Random Chatter Podcast Network, and we would like to welcome you as well. Now, this is a little difficult for me because there's a difference between appchatter.com and the Random Chatter Network podcasts, and it's hard for me to describe it verbally because I have the tendency to refer to they, where they would be the App Chatter people, but I am now one of the App Chatter people. And then they would be one of the Random Chatter people, but then I'm also referring to myself, again, in the third person. So bear with me here. AppChatter.com. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're going to call you Sybil.
Hey, I've been called worse. So AppChatter.com is it's a website focusing on app reviews and news and tips and tricks and things like that. They've got other stuff there, too. Or we. There we go again. We have other stuff there, too. But AppChatter's been around for a while. It had a different name before. And I've been following them for a while. And I've been podcasting since about 2005. And I've got a network of podcasts at randomchatter.com. And we have Tech Chatter, Lost Chatter, Movie Chatter, things like that. And once I got my iPhone, I started, you know, keeping up with the different websites and stuff, and I like appchatter.com a lot, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I could come up with my own iPhone podcast, or maybe I could just get with them and they would let me do a podcast for them. So that's exactly what we're doing. This podcast is actually owned by appchatter.com, and they are allowing us to also host it on our randomchatter.com network. So I think that's probably the best job I'm going to be able to do of describing it. So if you're confused and have any questions, I don't know what to tell you. I'll probably just confuse you more. So, sorry.
I thought that was pretty clear.
Oh, well, thanks. Well, you've heard me like do it a couple of times now poorly, so I'm sure that's an improvement. Okay, so what to expect from the show? This is going to be, like I said, it's going to be a weekly show. We're going to shoot for about a half hour per episode, and we are going to miss, and it will probably be closer to an hour, especially once Brian gets on the show. But Brian, if you're out there, we love you. Anyway, we've got kind of a laid-back attitude about our podcasts. If you listen to Twit, This Week in Tech, we're kind of something like that, only not quite as large in scope, I guess. But, you know, we like to have fun with what we're doing. If we're not having fun, then what's the point? So expect, you know, don't expect something that's really like heavy with press releases and super heavily polished and stuff. This is going to be more water cooler talk, because really I think that people, when they listen to podcasts, they want to know what the scoop is. They want to know what the deal is. You know, what's the bottom line? Am I going to like this application or not? You know, so that's kind of what we're trying to bring. Is there anything I left out?
No, I think that's pretty good. I mean, sum it up as we are the every man's view of what the apps are. So
exactly. That's what we're going for. So let's see. Let's move on to some news before we get to the big iPad feature.
Oh, boy.
We had Spore Creatures was released this week, which looks pretty nice, but I'm not sure that's really a great release.
Yeah, it seems like it hasn't really, even on the PC side, it hasn't really done what they wanted to do, I think. It's just, I don't know, it's really, I don't know, just unsure of what it's going to do, how much it's going to do, where the rest of it's coming from.
Well, I think with the PC version, it was kind of interesting conceptually because you're going from a single-cell organism all the way up to like a spacefaring race. Mm. And with the iPhone applications, because I played the first one, and it's kind of like, well, you're only just doing a portion of it. You're not doing the growth from a single-cell organism all the way up to this big thing. Right, so right. It's not about that. And you know, the gameplay, I've not played this.
Yeah, neither have I.
But a lot of the response from the press and a lot of the reviews are that it's pretty poor. They're calling it repetitive and boring. It's a big release and it's newsworthy, but you know, it's $7 to just kind of tilt your iPhone around and have your little guy run into things and eat them.
Yeah, it's a bit much for that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're also used to spending $1.99 or 99 cents, that when you see something that's $4 or $5 or $6, you're going, wow, that's a lot of money. But, you know, we all pay $50 for a console game, too. So, I don't know. I think there's some...
Well, and so here's the thing. That brings up another good point, is that if you've got something that's kind of based on, you know, a console game or a PC or Mac game, I'm okay paying $7 or $9 or something like that. You know, I played... let's see, Plants vs. Zombies. I've got that on my Mac for, I think I paid $20 for it. Mm-hmm. And the day it comes out for the iPhone, if it costs $20, I'm getting it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I love the game that much, and it's about the gaming experience. If it's worth that much to me, then that's what I'm going to pay for. I can't complain if, you know, I get Chuzzle on the PC for $20. And then they charge, let's say, $5 for it on the iPhone. I'm not going to say, well, it's so expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's the same game.
Yeah, you know, the thing I find on some of these games, the more expensive ones tend to be much more involved, much more immersive games. And that's not what I'm looking for in an iPhone game. I've been bitten a couple times by that. I got Madden 2010 for the iPhone, and it's a great mm-hmm. version of it. But I don't want to spend that much time playing an iPhone game. You know, I want to play an iPhone game for 5 or 10 minutes and then do something else.
Yeah.
So,
and that brings up a really good point that I think a lot of people don't think about, is that there's, you know, casual gaming has really blown up, even on the PC world recently. Well, even consoles. I mean, if you look at something like Xbox Live, mm-hmm. A lot of the downloads there, the Magic the Gathering collectible card game, well, a lot of the PopCap games are on Xbox Live, things like that. So it's kind of that type of thing. On the iPhone, a lot of times you've only got a few minutes to sit and play a game. I mean, a lot of people don't sit for a half hour at your iPhone and play something that's really involved. So that's a really good point. I think that a lot of the shorter duration games are really what's more successful.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I picked up some more in-depth games that I really wanted to play and look awesome, and they're sitting on my iPhone collecting dust, basically, because I don't have the time to... I think Beneath a Steel Sky was one that was really highly rated, looks good. I picked it up, and I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, then there's other games that, you know, are typically a quick game, like GeoDefense, and, you know, I play it mm-hmm. for 20 minutes. I'm like, well, where'd the time go? But it's not something I'm thinking about or trying to really play a game. I just happen to get caught up in it. That's what I love about the iPhone, because I can be anywhere and just start playing it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's one of the things about the price point, too, is that, you know, for $7 or, you know, anywhere from the $5 to $10 range, you're looking at something that you expect to be very well polished and very robust. And yet, you know, the more in-depth it is, that's almost a deterrent for casual gaming. So I guess it really depends on what type of gamer you are and, you know, what they put in the game. But back to Spore Creatures, for $7 to just kind of tilt your device around and have it run into things, I think that's not a good matching. So,
yep, agreed.
One game that came out this week that I am kind of excited about, and I just bought today, I've had a little bit of time to play with it, and I'm loving it so far, but I've still got a ways to go. It's called Gorilla Bob, and it's from Chillingo, who have made... what have they made? They've done Raven Sword, which was a three-dimensional RPG. They've done Mini Gore, which is another dual-stick shooter. So Gorilla Bob is a dual-stick game. So you've got one thumbstick on the left side of the screen to control your movement, and then another stick on the right-hand side to control your shooting. Kind of like way back in the day of the coin-operated video games. There's a game called Smash TV.
I remember that.
I don't know if you remember that?
I do.
Wow, I don't feel so old anymore. Lou, you're awesome. Oh, a lot of people are out there at CoinOp. What?
I know.
What's CoinOp mean?
What, huh?
Yeah, man. So anyway, it's a dual stick shooter. So you've got one stick for movement, one stick for shooting. And this one's got a little bit of a storyline to it, which is kind of nice. It's a little more, you know, objective based, and it's not just a survival mode type of game. And which, you know, they did really good with Mini Gore. I like Mini Gore as far as a dual stick survivalist type game, but this one seems to be an improvement on that. The graphics are a little bit better, and yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, the graphics look good. I saw some of the reviews on it. I have not picked this one up yet, but I think I'm going to. It does look pretty good.
And if I recall correctly, it's only, I think it's I guess it's $2.99. So it's a little bit more than usual if you figure the average app's about $1.99. Mm-hmm. But I think it's worth it. I mean, they've really got the gameplay locked down well, the graphics, the experience. It's just, it's definitely worth $2.99.
Cool.
So let's see. Freeappaday.com. Have you checked that out at all? Did you? Back in December, the app event calendar.
Yep, I did some of those. I didn't have a chance to keep up at all because I was moving, trying to get into my new house before Christmas. But it was pretty cool concept, and I'm definitely going to check out freeappaday.com. Have not been there yet, but I'm definitely planning on doing this.
You and I both moved in December this past year.
Yeah.
Did you have as much of a mess of it as I did?
Well, you know, that's my wife and I had the bright idea of trying to host Christmas dinner at our new house.
Oh,
and
geez.
We didn't quite make it. We moved in the Sunday after Christmas. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think we got moved in the week before Christmas, and it was rough. Anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. That's another thing to all of our new listeners out there. We tend to go off on a lot of tangents.
No.
And we're sorry. Well, we're almost sorry.
Kinda.
But anyway, yeah. So the Advent calendar, for those who don't know, back in December, kind of like an Advent calendar, every day of December, they would release a new app for free, but just for that one day. So you had to pay attention. You had to check back every day and you can get a new app. Well, it went over so well that now they have set up a website called freeappaday.com. And they've just started, I think, around January 18th. And they've got some decent stuff there. I mean, here's the thing. You know, you're not going to find $10 apps there. A lot of it is developers who kind of want to get the word out about their apps. But there's some pretty good stuff there. Today, January 31st, there's kind of a Geometry Wars clone that they've got there that's pretty good. Battle Bears, if you guys have ever played that, it's kind of a silly take on teddy bears slaughtering each other. kind of a little gore fest. It's kind of cute, but you know, so they've got some decent things there. And you know, every now and then you find a diamond in the rough of a lower production app where the gameplay is a lot of fun. And so this is a good site to check out for that type of thing. Let's see, is there anything else to cover in the news? I guess
we're talking about the Google Voice website, the web app.
Oh yeah,
you know, that's been a big pet peeve of a lot of people over the last, you know, 6-7 months or so, that there's no Google Voice app on the iPhone.
With all the controversy of it last year, I mean, the FCC stepping in when Apple wouldn't let Google Voice on the App Store, I mean, that was a big mess.
Sure was.
Well, I mean, I think Google's done the right thing here. I mean, there's been a lot of controversy over the last year or longer about the App Store approval process. And, you know, it is kind of a mess, to be fair. Mm-hmm. It could be streamlined a little better. And also, to be fair, Apple has been taking some measures to improve it. Whether it's improved enough, I don't know. I'm not a developer, so I can't really comment on it too much. But I think Google did the right thing here. They basically circumvented Apple and designed a web app. So if you go to google.com/voice on your iPhone, if you have a Google Voice account, then you can access it from there. So that's kind of cool. I guess the only shortcoming of it is it can't access your iPhone's contact list, but then it never could anyway. Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of expected.
It just uses the Google contact list you have in Google if you do Gmail or Google Voice.
Right. And if you use Google Voice, you've been using that contact list anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
and if you sync the two together, you can sync your contacts from the iPhone or your Mac right back to Google anyway. So,
yeah. Do you have a Voice account?
Yes, I do.
You do? I had an invite. I had an invite that I hadn't. I hope not. I hadn't signed up for it for a long time, and then finally earlier today I went ahead and activated it, and I haven't played around with it a whole lot. But what do you think of it?
I haven't done a lot with it either. I'm just kind of using it for the time being to give out that number, as you know, somebody needs my phone number for like a, you know, purchasing something. I don't want to give them my home number or my cell phone number, so I give them that number, and I can route all those calls right to voicemail if it's not somebody in my contact list. So there's some nice functionality to it. The thing I'm going to miss about it the most is I miss the visual voicemail that you get in the iPhone, because you can't make the two of those work together. So there's some pluses and minuses to it, and I think it's just a matter of getting used to it and using it.
Yeah. I think what I'm going to do with us here is that we're keeping our cell phone numbers from our old location, which is about maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours away. So it's still close enough that we go back and see our friends a lot. And, you know, all our family has the cell phone numbers and such. But we need to have a local number here, especially for my wife's place of work. Again, she works at an ER, so they need to be able to contact her. And I'm thinking we'll have that as kind of a local number that we would give out as if it were like a home telephone number.
Sure.
And just have it roll over to our cell phones. But then anybody that we actually care about still has our cell phone number, so we get the visual voicemail that way.
There you go. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm going to play with it a little bit.
I've had it for a few months. I'm still kind of sorting it out, but I think it's a nice concept.
Yeah. You know, I've got another question. Speaking of subscription-type things and services, do you have MobileMe?
Yes, I do.
So, I'm stuck. My MobileMe subscription ends in about 3 days. And, you know, $100 is a lot.
It is a lot.
To drop for that. I mean, you know, the photo gallery is nice, but I don't use it a whole lot. I use the syncing of the contacts and calendar. That part's kind of nice. But, you know, I could just do that directly anyway. I don't do a lot of changes to that. And the email, basically, I've got it set up so that specific people that I care about. I've got a filter in my Gmail, and if something comes in from one of about 10 or 15 people, it forwards it to my Me account, so it basically acts as like a selective push email.
Nice way to do it.
And that works kind of well. But,
I mean, you can do the same thing with another Gmail account, too.
Yeah, exactly.
When I first did it, I did it basically because I wanted to sync my contacts between a laptop, the desktop, and my iPhone. And I think that's still the only way you can do that between two different Macs.
Yeah,
you know, keeping contacts synced. Otherwise, I would just go with the Google Sync and do it that way. Because, I mean, I have a Dropbox account for moving files back and forth. That works better for me between the work PC and the home PC or the home Mac. You know, I don't really use the Me account for email. It's really just the syncing between the laptop, the desktop, and the iPhone.
Yeah.
Although I do use the gallery.
The gallery is kind of nice.
Yep.
You know, I found that for people who are not very computer savvy or that don't want to create Flickr accounts, like I've got my grandfather who's not all that computer savvy and another relative who find the MobileMe gallery a lot easier to navigate.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very simple.
We had a lot of people that are interested in the house we built, interested in the construction of it. So I would take pictures throughout the construction and post them to MobileMe so people could see, you know, step by step from the foundation to the framing to, you know, all through the whole process. And it's very easy to send out a link and say, hey, check it out. You know, much easier than trying to tell them where to go on Flickr to find my stuff. So.
Yeah, and then they've got to have an account on Flickr. Mm-hmm, yeah. You know, I don't know. $100, though.
Yeah, it's expensive, but.
And here's the thing. Normally, if you buy a laptop, an Apple laptop, you get MobileMe, I think, for like $60 or $70 for the year.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like $69. Yep. And they probably are going to do that with the iPad, but it's going to be like 3 months before it comes. 2 to 3 months, depending on what model you get. So I don't know that I want to go 2 or 3 months without it. I don't know. What, you know, our listeners out there, why don't you let us know what you think about this? Are you a MobileMe subscriber? Because I know a lot of iPhone subscribers are. And if so, what do you think about it? Do you think it's worth it? Have you been getting a lot of use out of it? And if not, if you chose not to get it, or if you've moved away from it, what are you using instead? What's working well for you? You can email us at podcast@appchatter.com. So we'd like to know what you guys say about that. Let's talk iPad.
Sounds good.
All right. The iPad was announced this past week, obviously, as probably all of the listeners of this podcast are aware.
I think everybody knows that, yeah.
Probably. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about the basics of what it can do?
Well, I think that everybody that's been talking about this in the press has been kind of almost like they say this is a negative. I don't look at it as a negative, but they say it's just a big iPod Touch.
Yeah.
And to me, it is a big iPod Touch, and I think that's a great thing. You know, I don't think it's a cut on it, but basically it is a larger device than an iPhone or an iPod Touch. It's got a touch-sensitive screen. They call it a 10-inch screen. It's actually 9 3/4 or somewhere around there. Very thin device. It's about a half inch thick. New chip from Apple. They've designed their own chip, I guess. I'm not sure who's making it for them, but they have the A4 chip, which is their 1 GHz chip in the iPad. It will do 3G if you get the 3G option. It's got Wi-Fi built into it, so you can use any of the public Wi-Fis or your own Wi-Fi at your own house if you've got a wireless router.
And between 802.11n and the 1 GHz chip, my understanding from people who have had it hands-on is that this thing is just all kinds of fast.
Yeah, I mean, the demos, if you've downloaded the video of Steve doing the announcement, it just flipped through everything really fast. I was like, wow, that's pretty slick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it looks like a great device. It's going to do everything the iPod Touch does or everything the iPhone does and more. Looks like they beefed up the iTunes on the device, so it's a little bit more than just what you'd see on the iPod or the iPhone. Runs basically the same software, the same way you'd, if you know how to use your iPhone, you know how to use the iPad. So the learning curve is really nothing. The big thing is, which device do you get? Do you get the 3G or do you stay with the Wi-Fi only?
Yeah. So you said that a lot of the press was talking about the fact that it's basically an oversized iPod Touch and that you kind of agree with that and you don't think it's a bad thing. Why don't you, I mean, the press response has been kind of, a lot of people are loving it. A lot of people are completely apathetic to it or disappointed. What do you think?
Well, I haven't decided if I'm going to get one or not.
Okay.
I know I want one. I'll say that. I think it's a cool device and I want one. Personally, where does it fit into my life?
Right.
And I don't think it's, you've heard, Leo Laporte talking about it being a new category of device. And I think Steve even said that too. But it's just, I think the press wants it to be something other than what it is. The ones that say, oh, it's just a big iPod Touch. Well, yeah, it is, but do they want it to be a replacement for a laptop? And I don't think that's what this device is for. If I run around my laptop and run, Photoshop or something to do more work with besides just, browsing the web, getting email, that kind of stuff, then I'll take my laptop out. But, for most of the time I'm out there in public, I don't need to have all that stuff. If I'm not doing a photo shoot and wanting to look at the photos right away, hey, I don't care. I'll do it when I get home. So for that, I think an iPad would be great because I just need to be in touch. I can check my email. For that, I think it's a great device.
Yeah, I think it's really an issue of what you're going to use it for. I remember back when I first got out of high school, I was working retail at Circuit City. And I used to have people come in all the time. I'd ask them, okay, what are you looking for in whatever thing it is you want to buy? And they tell me what their needs are and what type of features they want. And I'd say, okay, well, these three over here are pretty good. And they'd say, yeah, well, Consumer Reports said this one's good. And I kind of pause for a minute and I say, well, yeah, it is, but it doesn't have this feature. It's unable to do that, which you said was really important to you. So it's a good product, but I don't think it's going to do what you need it to do. I think you want to look at one of these others. Yeah, but Consumer Reports said this is a good one. You can't make a square peg fit in a round hole.
Right.
And the iPad is not going to be for everybody, but I think there are some people for whom it's going to be a game changer. I think it's going to be a big deal. It's kind of between an iPhone or an iPod Touch and a laptop. But it's not going to do laptop stuff as well as a laptop does, and it's not going to do iPhone stuff as well as an iPhone. I think here's my opinion. Here's the catch for the iPad, okay? I think it's going to appeal to people who find themselves using their iPhone as their primary computing device, and yet who find the screen for the iPhone too small to do a lot of text stuff, and they need more screen real estate, and for whom the data entry on the iPhone is just a little bit too obnoxious.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing is, you know, a keyboard or at least a bigger touch keyboard on the screen even.
Right.
You know, typing with your thumbs is not for everybody.
Well, and a lot of people don't like the vertical orientation of the keyboard. You know, it was a big deal when they put the horizontal keyboard in.
That's true. Yeah, that was him.
Which, you know, I guess I was in the minority. It never really bothered me that much. But, yeah. You know, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm going to get one. As soon as I can get one, I'm going to. And here's why. I found that now that my son has shown up, I've got a 9-month-old son. Oh, man, he's almost 10 months now. I hate that.
Time flies.
Yeah, by the time this podcast will be posted, it'll be 10 months because it's like 3 days from now. Anyway, so I've got a 10-month-old son. And between chasing him around the house and everything, I found that I can't get to my laptop very often. You know, I can't get to my computer desk because I've got to be out taking care of him. I can't be at a TV tray like on the couch when he's playing on the floor because then he knocks the TV tray down. I can't have it on my lap because then he pulls it off of my lap. So, you know, I found that my iPhone, I can hold it in one hand. I can browse through things pretty easily with my thumb. The interface is very good for one-touch navigation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I rely a lot on my iPhone, but it drives me nuts that, you know, if I want to read a web page, I've got to like zoom in and then slide it all over the place to read stuff. I go to school and I've got a few e-textbooks, and in order to read them, I've got to zoom in and then slide around. The same thing for any type of a PDF file or things like that. I am going to love having something that I can still use with one hand and have a bigger screen. I think it's going to be great. And the other thing is with that keyboard dock that they have available, I'm going to see, and it's going to depend on the applications that are out. They've released iWork for it, but I'm going to see if I can take notes on this in class. And, you know, at a pound and a half, it's going to be lighter and smaller than carrying a laptop around.
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, for the person that's running a 15 or a 17-inch MacBook Pro, this is not the replacement for it. But for the person who's carrying a netbook, and they purposely didn't make the comparisons to a netbook, I think, in the Apple, you know, coming out show. But I think that's really what's aimed at. I mean, this is a much better experience than a netbook. You're going to spend a little more for it, but you spend a little more for all Apple hardware. You know, whether it's a laptop or a desktop or anything else, this is aimed at the people that want to check their email, want to browse the web. You know, the biggest question in my mind is why is there or how much need are you going to have for a 3G version of it? Are you going to need a 3G version of it? Is your iPhone going to do, you know, do I do my email and stuff on the iPhone when I'm out traveling and just use the, you know, the iPad when I'm at home or when I know I'm somewhere where there is Wi-Fi?
And that's a really good question. And that's something I'm thinking about, too. For $130 more, you get the 3G. And I'm kind of tempted to get it just in case, because even if I don't activate the data plan, I have the capability if I ever need it. If I do travel, I can. You know, here's the other thing. The data plan does not have a contract.
Right.
So if I'm going to travel for, you know, 2 weeks and take a vacation or something, I could get the data plan for that month and have access wherever I go.
Sure. But now the thing is, you're going to travel with your iPhone also, right?
Yeah. See, that's the thing.
I'm having the same thought myself. Do I need to spend $130 to get 3G, which I'm going to pay more for when I use it?
How much of the stuff with the iPad are you going to be doing online, though? That's the key. If you're not somewhere where you've got Wi-Fi, because, okay, so you've got web browsing and Facebook and Twitter, okay, if you're into social networking. Email, you know, I don't have that much of a problem doing email on the iPhone. So that I could live without. I do a lot of email, but I do it very easily on the phone. So that's fair. But, you know, anything else that I would probably want to do on the iPad, I've got a lot of games, but I'm not really concerned with the games. I'm more concerned with task management, productivity, communication, web browsing, getting the news, reading RSS feeds. I don't know.
I mean, it's going to depend on who used it and what you're using it for. I think what the ultimate would be is if, you know, sometime down the road AT&T says, okay, for another $10 a month, we'll turn on tethering in your iPhone. So that when you need to get that when your iPad, you just turn it on and you get it. You know, because AT&T doesn't have a MiFi. So, and I don't want to spend $30 a month more for something I'm not going to use that much. I don't see me replacing my iPhone with this because I still need a phone. So
exactly,
you know, that's the thing. That's the thing.
And are you going to pay $30 for data for your iPhone and $30 for data for the iPad?
Yeah, and $30 a month for my wife's iPhone.
And yeah, see, there you go. That's $100 a month just in data plans.
Yeah, and that's just too
much. And AT&T, they are not going to offer tethering nor any type of family data rate until Verizon starts kicking their butt.
Yeah.
Once the iPhone or iPad opens up for Verizon and there's this mass migration of people away from AT&T, all of these unsatisfied customers, that's going to be when AT&T actually has some incentive to offer some better deals.
Yep, I agree 100%. So,
well, I don't know. I think the iPad, I'm looking forward to it, but I understand why a lot of people wouldn't. And a lot of people are complaining about the things that are missing. There's no multitasking. And I got to say, I'm kind of surprised that they went with, well, maybe I'm not surprised because it'd be easier for them, but I'm sort of surprised they didn't go with OS X and they went with the iPhone operating system instead.
Well, I think they're trying to separate it from that class of device. It is that iPod or iPhone Touch iPod device. It's not a computer. It's not a full-blown laptop.
That's true.
It's not a netbook. It's something different. So they can really differentiate it that way by showing it not with OS X.
Well, I think that's going to appeal to people who aren't really avid computer users. Like, my mom is going to love this thing because it's going to be simple and easy to use. It'll let her do pretty much everything she wants. A lot of techies, though, are going to be like, why would I get this if I can just go get an Acer Aspire 1 netbook and have an actual full-fledged operating system on it?
Well, you know, it comes down to the experience again. I mean, it's been talked about as this being an appliance, not really a computer or a device. It's something you're going to have in your house like your toaster. You're going to use it.
Yeah.
And you don't want to know how it works. You just want to be able to push the button and see your pictures.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As somebody who has, like I said, I've got an Apple TV, so I do a lot of streaming video and iTunes video that I share out to it. And having a son who's going to be all over the house, I got to say, having a little portable television with me everywhere I go is not going to suck.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
You know, that's not too bad. But all right, so I don't know. I don't want to. Is there anything else we want to say about the iPad?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say some of the things it doesn't have. I mean, I think the camera was kind of surprising.
I thought
they would have had a camera on it.
I would think this would be the perfect device to have it in the front for video conferencing. I can understand not having it on the back because, I mean, who wants to hold up a 10-inch screen to take a picture of something?
Yeah, it's kind of big.
But for iChat,
yep,
totally. Yeah.
And maybe that was AT&T saying no, but, you know, why couldn't they make that only for Wi-Fi use? I mean, they do that with Skype now for the app.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised at that. The no multitasking, I'm not as surprised about if they're going to use the iPhone OS. I mean,
the only thing I would have liked to see on that, and I'm not a big proponent of saying, hey, we need multitasking, but it'd be nice to be able to do, you know, tunes in the background while you're doing something else. And you can't do that. You can't let, iTunes run and play a selection of songs while you're doing something else.
Yes, you can.
You can?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's just like the iPhone. You can play. Well, there might be some apps that override it, just like there are now with the iPhone, especially some games. But my understanding is that the iTunes, the music and the email and the push notifications will all work in the background. And okay, mobile Mi Sync and, you know, all of the different Apple built-in, you know, system level situations, all of those services will still be running in the background, so you're okay there.
Okay.
You're just not going to be able to, like, I wouldn't be able to browse the web and still have Twitter or Facebook running at the same time. I would have to exit out of Safari and into the Twitter app and then exit out of Twitter and into the Facebook app, so that type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's a little bit annoying, but you know, I'd rather have a lockdown OS that doesn't crash all the time.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I had a Windows mobile phone once, and
ooh.
Yeah, there was one time I needed to call 911, and fortunately, the emergency situation kind of resolved itself, but I was trying to call 911, and I had to shut down my phone and power it back on. I had to wait through a 4-minute reboot.
Wow.
And yeah.
So it's a little scary.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the time at which I decided I need something else. And I went and got a Motorola Razr.
Something that's just a phone and just works.
Yep. No flash still.
Yeah, it's not very surprising, though, I guess. I mean, Apple's been pretty adamant about not putting on the iPhone and the iPod Touch, so.
I know, but, man, then I can't have Hulu.
Yeah, I know.
How awesome would it be if I could have Hulu on this thing?
It would be the best.
So I guess Hulu just needs to get with HTML5, and then...
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
But you've got other companies that used to do strictly Flash stuff now doing video on the iPhone or the iPod Touch or the iPad. YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, they're all doing stuff that they can get around that now, and Apple seems to be very happy with that.
So I should be upset at Hulu and not Apple.
There you go. Well, Hulu's going to start charging next year anyway, so who knows?
Well, if they can get me Hulu on my Apple TV or any of my other television connected devices, my Xbox or whatever, and if they can get it to me on my iPhone or iPad, I would be willing to consider paying a little bit for it. I would probably drop my cable subscription.
Yeah, no, I agree with 100% on that. I mean, since I've been streaming Netflix from my PS3, I'm like, wow, this is better than standard definition cable.
Yeah, yeah.
But back to apps.
Yeah.
The one thing I was surprised about was all the talk, and I haven't seen it because I haven't played with one yet, but all the talk about how, you know, supersizing or double scaling the video of games and so forth doesn't look all that great. Have you heard that in some of the reviews?
Yeah, it's not too surprising. So for those who don't know, when you play a game on the iPad or if you run any iPhone application on the iPad, then you can get the actual native resolution of the app, meaning you've got a smaller display in the center of the iPad with a great big huge black border around it. Or you can double it so that it takes up the whole screen on the iPad. So when you double it, you get some pixelization. But that makes sense. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I guess. But they made a big point about saying you could do this, and they're all happy about it in the Apple presentation. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, it's not the best. Why are they really touting that? I mean, I would think they would want to say that, and developers are going to produce, you know, apps that are going to be, you know, sizing themselves based on what device you're running on, so that you don't see anything in the background, but they'll be, you know, you download whatever app it is, and there's two versions.
Yeah, of the two things that... A lot of people are surprised they didn't talk about in the keynote. The one was the speed. A lot of people are saying the speed on this thing is a huge selling point. They don't understand why Jobs didn't say anything about it. But the other thing is that, I mean, a lot of the developers are coming out even like a day or two after the dev kit was released and saying, yeah, my existing application, it took me like, you know, 10 seconds to port it over to an iPad application. And I would think that they would be wanting to talk a little bit more about that and touting the fact that, you know, getting a regular resolution iPad specific version of an app takes almost no time at all, rather than talking about how, I mean, it's important for the consumers who have been dumping money into iPhone apps to realize that those apps are still going to work on the new device. And if you had to look at it in the little small screen with the big black border around it, you wouldn't want to. The fact that you can run it tiny wouldn't really benefit you at all. So they've got to have that doubling, and they've got to talk about the fact that it's there. But I would also mention that, you know, hey, and developers making a new version of this, you know, few hours and you're done.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that by the time this thing launches, most of the apps that are being used today are going to be version, you know, 0.1 coming out now of all those apps that will run natively in the iPad.
Well, there's 2 months until the Wi-Fi only versions are available on the market and 3 months until the 3G versions. So
you've got 2 months to decide which one you're going to get.
Well, you know, anytime you buy an iPhone or an iPod Touch or iPad or anything like that, in my opinion, if you're doubling the capacity for $100, it kind of makes it worth it to go ahead and upgrade it. If you're a power user, okay? I mean, for me, going from 8 gigs to 16 gigs for an extra $100 was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And going from 32 gigs to 64 gigs for $100, again, is a no-brainer. Because I'm going to be one of these people who will actually, you know, slap down some video and, you know, half of my music collection on it and things like that. So, you know, for me, I'm probably going to get the 64 gig.
Yeah, no, actually, my question really was, do you go 2 months now and then go 3G? Do you wait another month for that? Because, I think 64 gig is the one you buy.
Yeah, but the 3G thing, I mean, you present a really good question. You get an iPhone with you anyway. Why do you really need the 3G unless, you know, like what I said, unless it's going to be that you want a lot of the text-based stuff full screen where you need to be connected all the time and there's no tethering.
Yeah. And the other thing is some of the apps that require data, they wouldn't be as useful without 3G if you're out and about.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to use the iPhone for that. You know, checking movie times or something, I'm going to use the iPhone. But,
yeah. And, you know, if I'm out driving, I'm not going to use this as a navigation device because it's huge. You know, I'm still going to use my iPhone.
If they get some nice dash-mounted dock for it, I can see this being a great turn-by-turn.
It'd take up half your dash. I don't know.
I've got an SUV, so it's a big SUV, you know.
Well, let's talk apps a little bit.
Sure.
This is App Chatter. I mean, you know, we have to talk about the iPad this episode because it's the thing. And, you know, really what the iPad success is going to boil down to is the apps. It's going to depend on what you can do with it. And what you can do is going to be dependent as much, if not more, on the apps as on the hardware. So, you know, we'll have more on that as it comes out. But let's look at today's apps. Let's get a couple of reviews thrown out real quick, and I think we'll wrap this episode up for today.
Sounds good.
What do you have for your pick for this week?
My pick for this week is an app that came out, I think, about a month ago from Apple, the Mobile Me Gallery.
We talked
about the Mobile Me galleries earlier in the show, and I think that this app was just fantastic because when I was trying to show people the gallery I had for the house we built, I'd have to have the website up and go into Safari, and it didn't work all that well on the small screen to navigate that way. But now going into the Mobile Me app, say, hey, here's the house we built, and just kind of flip through the photos. It's fantastic. It's faster. It's easier. It's free. Can't get much better than that from an app.
Yeah.
And I think this app is going to be just absolutely stunning on the iPad. Bigger screen, bigger pictures. Pictures and video are going to be fantastic on it. So
now you do have to have a Mobile Me account. So
I've been told you can look at other people's free, Mobile Me accounts on it too.
Oh,
I haven't done that yet.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
But yeah, I have a Mobile Me account and it works with mine, so obviously I can show people my photos.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've downloaded it. I have not yet had a chance to play with it, but I don't know. I'm thinking I might keep my Mobile Me account.
Yeah,
we'll see. I got to talk to the wife, the boss.
Hey, there you go. You know? The one who holds the purse strings.
Well, my app for this week is also fairly cheap. It's 99 cents, not entirely free. It's called Cogs, and it is from Chillingo. I talked about them earlier with Gorilla Bob. They also make Mini Gore, Raven Sword, and a bunch of other pretty well-selling games. They're one of the better developers, I think, for iPhone apps. And this game it's kind of a Gears style of puzzler. You've got different gears that you have to make, turn different other gears and pipes and things to make things work. It's one of those things where it works better if you look at it than having somebody describe it to you audibly. But it's three-dimensional. And when I say 3D, I actually mean multiple 2D sides. Okay, so think of something like a cube where you attach and slide around gears on each side of a cube, but then you rotate the cube because some of the gears stick over the edge and hit gears on another side. Okay? So these different puzzles are designed to have different effects, and it's got kind of a steampunk look to it. There's a Windows version of it available, too. I think you can get it through Steam, which is a service from which you can download a bunch of different games and stuff. If you don't have Steam and you're a gamer, there's something wrong with you. So, but if you've got a Windows machine, check it out on Steam. There's a really good demo of it. And, you know, 99 cents, this is a really well-designed game. It's a fun puzzler. It's a little bit on the easy side. If you're kind of a hardcore puzzler, this is not going to challenge you a whole lot. But as you go along, past the first 10 puzzles, you get into downloadable content. If you hear us talk on the show about DLC, that stands for downloadable content. So it's 99 cents for the first 10 levels, and then it's an additional 99 cents per 10 levels for the other 50. So it's either a total of 50 or it's a total of 60. But I think, like, to get the entire game, it's like about $5. But, and they do get more challenging as it goes along. But I think it's a great game, and I would recommend, you know, even if you only play the first 10 levels for 99 cents, you know, it's a no-brainer.
It's I was just going to say, the plus of that is you buy for 99 cents. If you don't really like it, hey, you're out 99 cents. You didn't spend $5 on the whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, heck, that's a sales tax at McDonald's for your lunch. Come on.
There you go.
All right. Well, one other review we've got kind of vicariously is at appchatter.com this week. Rob over there has done a review of a game called Warheads. And I have not played this. But I want to point this out and give a little bit of a teaser to the review at the website, because we want you to go check out the website, too. It's by Pangea Software, and they've made some of the earlier, more popular games on the iPhone. Enigma 2, Cro-Mag Rally, which is a kind of a caveman driving game. They've got some chops. They've made some pretty successful games, and this is kind of a Missile Command style game. And again, here I'm showing my age.
I was just going to say, that's an old game, and people are going, Missile Command?
But, you know, Missile Command was kind of fun.
It was classic. It was classic.
So what it is you've got missiles raining down toward the ground, and you tap where you want your ground surface-to-air missile launchers to shoot, and then there's an explosion wherever you tapped. And so whatever the explosion envelops from the things coming down from the sky, those things are knocked out. And the goal is to not let any of the missiles coming down hit any of your bases at the ground. Okay, it's kind of simple. But this looks pretty good. I mean, if you're going to do a Missile Command clone, this has got good graphics. Rob seems to think the gameplay is pretty good. He says it's about, you know, 5 or 10 minutes worth of gameplay. So back to what you said earlier, Lou, about casual gaming, this is, you know, a perfect duration.
Yeah, it's right in my alley.
Yep. Yeah. So it's 99 cents. And again, if you want to hear more about that review, go check out appchatter.com and read Rob's review there. And I think that's it for this week.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So don't forget, for news and reviews, check out appchatter.com. And you can check out our other podcasts at randomchatter.com for the Random Chatter Network. We're going to be starting up Lost Chatter again here pretty soon. Lou and I are both going to be on that. For you Lost fans out there,
and, final season,
yeah. And so, send us an email. Let us know what you think of the show. And if you have any questions about apps, or you know, you have a situation where you want to know if there's a certain type of app that'll meet a certain type of need, ask us. Let us know. We'll do some research for you. You can contact us at podcast@appchatter.com. And like I asked earlier, too, let me know about the Mobile Me thing. Are you guys using Mobile Me, or do you have a good alternative? Let me know. I think other people would want to know, too. So, all right, well, that's it for this week. And next week, hopefully, we will also have Brian on the show. But until then, take care, and we'll see you later.
Very good. Have a good night.
For more great app reviews, check out appchatter.com. The songs in this episode are My Own Little World and Unlikely, both written and performed by Cell Dweller, which you can find at celldweller.com. The show is part of the Random Chatter Podcast Network, which you can find at randomchatter.com. This show is copyright 2010 appchatter.com, and As Silly As A Sentence Sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care!